Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. And we're back again with some Russian news and news about the war and everything. And today's episode is going to be a bit more strange than usual because, well, we've gotten access to some interesting data. What I'd like to start with is, I guess it's a category at this point. You'll laugh, of course. And by the way, that comes from an old Soviet joke, which went like, you know, after Brezhnev died and then Andropov and then Chernenko died, there was this joke that says that you turn on the Russian Channel 1 and the presenter there states, well, you'll laugh, of course, but our land has now been struck with yet another extremely great tragedy. It was kind of like the fact that they die all the time. And, today's quite much like that when it comes to various events with Russia. Since, well, you'll laugh, of course, but Russia lost their second fighter plane in the last 3 days. It's quite likely that this one was a Su-35 one, which was beaten down once again by their own anti-air systems. And this has been published in everywhere, basically. Russian Telegram is crazy about it, and Ukrainian Telegram also posts about this. Meantime, Die Welt, the media aside from Germany, states that Germany has cut down on the military aid to Ukraine by the minimum. Now, again, this is from Die Welt. Please don't be angry at me. This is what I just, you know, got reports on. And apparently, from the 30th of March up to the middle of June, only walkie-talkies, hand grenades, spare parts to machine guns, and some detonating wires have been sent from Germany to Ukraine. Now, I can't really claim the validity of this, but something to take a look at. Syria has, well, Bashar Assad's Syria, has now cutting diplomatic ties with Ukraine. At the end of June, Ukraine cut diplomatic ties with Syria just because Syria, well, you know, officially recognized Donetsk and Lugansk. So, quite obvious. European Union is now planning to spread out and move even more people in the sanction list. Apparently, 55 people are going to be included. And interestingly enough, turns out that the mayor of Moscow, Sergei Sobyanin, and two actors, Sergei Bezrukov and Vladimir Mashkov, will be popping in this list. I was still confused about why Sergei Sobyanin wasn't on this list before, because he's one of the closest people to Putin, and personally, I would have put him there way earlier. European Union is planning to cut down on the use of natural gas by 15%. Bloomberg reports that Euro Commission will, you know, announce very soon a plan of economy of gas. And, you know, that's a positive thing because, well, importing stuff is one thing, but the gas and natural resources is where Putin's regime gets all their money. In Russian Gosduma, a new bill was presented that now equalizes the Georgian banner, you know, the orange and black one, to the equal to the symbols of military glory. That's basically, you know, all the orders and all the banners from World War II and all this stuff. And you can get up to 5 years in prison if you desecrate this symbol somehow. Well, for everyone else in Eastern Europe, that symbol, which has very little ties to anything actual World War II, because, well, the pro-Nazis who were gathered from Russian prisoners of war, they used that one, so that's a bit weird. But that's still sort of a bit interesting. Interestingly enough, you know, and this is, again, one of those you'll love, of course, news. Well, I spoke about how the Russian analog of McDonald's will get into trouble, you know, because they can't really provide themselves with a lot of stuff, and they had issues with fries. Well, apparently they've gone a bit further, because not only there were fries, they had the fry issue with how they couldn't deliver them and how they wouldn't be able to serve them. Turns out that apparently they have a lot of mold in the fries, in the burgers and everything, and some bugs as well. And, they acted swiftly to solve this issue. Like, they took what's necessary and posted, reasonable measures to counter this situation. That is, they have now banned using smartphones in the stores. In Russian McDonald's analog, you can no longer post smartphones or charge any device that you have. Apparently, that's because some customers found it uncomfortable. But basically, it's because so that we, people like me, wouldn't be able to see on the internet what's going on and what a mess everything really is. And now, another thing which is going to be integrated with my usual please follow me on Twitter, I'm trying to reach 20,000 followers there, and yeah, all this stuff, because, well, now, I was kind of sent on Telegram, and then this got confirmed, a weird document written by Россия Сегодня. Россия Сегодня, or Russia Today, you might know it by RT, is the kind of the big central organization, big central media organization, who are kind of the platform of everything that propaganda, Russian propaganda is doing. And they document everything as well. And what we got from them is a letter that was sent from them in Belarusian, and in Russian, to the Minister of Defense of the Republic of Belarus, the General Lieutenant Хренин Вега. It's an interesting one. You will you'll appreciate it. Honorable Viktor Gennadyevich, the correspondent spot of the federal institution of unitary commonwealth, basically Россия Сегодня and Republic of Belarus. At this point, really, we wish to act upon our common ties, and we gladly ask that you support us in a creation of a TV kind of TV news set for our site Sputnik.by, which is Belarusian one, about the destruction of Russian anti-air systems and anti-rocket systems of the American HIMARS. Well, as according to our previous discussions, we would really like you to ensure that that a proper model of HIMARS is made, and that we can use it at the latest of 22nd of July, and that should be placed in the eastern polygons, and then we will come and film how it's destroyed there. Yeah, they have a documentation. It holds a bunch of linguistic things, but Россия Сегодня has basically admitted that they're gonna blow up some fake HIMARSes on 22nd. Well, after this leak, they probably won't, because just as when the war was predicted to start on the 16th, and then it was delayed by the efforts of intelligence services. Same with this one. If you hear that HIMARS are being destroyed and everything, yeah, no, not really. However, the latest in Russian propaganda is that HIMARS are being traded away by Ukrainians. But this is basically absolutely false, since due to security measures installed on these rocket missile launching systems, I was explaining the difference between rocket and missile on Twitter again, at Eastern_border, please follow us. And apparently they can't really be stolen or sold away. Well, they technically can, but not like they're going to shoot any missiles. So there is zero ideas that this might be true, but I presume that this might be the kind of the latest misinformation. Interestingly enough, yesterday, on the 19th of July, apparently, the Antonovsky Bridge was attacked near Kherson. Kherson is the southern part connecting to Crimea. Apparently, this bridge is vital for supplying Russian forces in Kherson direction. And here's some, and this comes from wartranslated.com, my friends. And there were some interesting reactions about all the situation, because it seems that the pro-Russian channels, both on Telegram and on other media sources, are just trying to wake up recently. So, pro-Russian war reporter channel Rybar declares that the Ukrainian forces are concluding preparations for the offensive, and in response to all the situation. Situation in Mykolaiv Kryvyi Rih direction. The Ukrainian command has completed preparations for an offensive in the Kryvyi Rih sector. HIMARS high-precision munitions have practically disabled the Antonovsky Bridge, which complicates the supply of Russian group in this direction. In the area of Arkhangelovskaya, Belia, Krynitsa, and Mukharovka, units of the 35th Brigade of Ukrainian Armed Forces are expected to cross the Ingulets River. In the vicinity of Murakhivka, there are technical tools for intercepting radio transmissions of the Electronic Reconnaissance Maneuvering Group, a jamming unit, and the Bukolev electronic warfare system of the Ukrainian Army. Reconnaissance of the positions of the Russian Federation Armed Forces and the nature of activities of Russian military personnel is carried out by two Bayraktar UAVs from the Kantanovo airfield. In addition, pro-Ukrainian citizens of the Kherson region transmit data about the rear facilities of the Russian Federation Armed Forces and the routes of movement in supply convoys. The offensive, allegedly, again, and this is added by me, will be preceded by massive artillery shelling from M777 howitzers on the positions of Russian forces on the line of contact. And, well, that's kind of interesting. Specifically on the Antonovsky Bridge situation, the Voyenny Osvedomitel, or War Informer, another pro-Russian channel, concludes that destruction of the bridge may lead to enormous risks for the Russian forces on the right bank of Dnieper, resulting in another, in air quotes, gesture of goodwill. Quote, the temporary closure of the Antonovsky Bridge for the passage of freight transport promises serious logistical problems for the right bank grouping of the Russian Federation Armed Forces in Kherson in the future. Despite the fact that at the moment it is possible to redirect transport columns through the Novokakhovka hydroelectric power station, this will already affect the delivery, and given the recent attacks on warehouses in the Kherson region, the problem is becoming way more acute. It is obvious that the armed forces of Ukraine will not stop at just minor damage to one bridge, and in the coming days we should expect a repetition of missile strikes both on the Antonovsky Bridge and on the Novokakhovka hydroelectric power station and other possible crossings. If this problem is not resolved in the near future, this will create enormous risks of cutting off Russian troops in Kherson from permanent supply communications with the left bank, which, in the event of a possible offensive by Ukrainian army, may result in another gesture of goodwill. I mean, I like how even the pro-war, pro-Putin side is just putting all these gestures of goodwill in very massive air quotes. Notorious Starshe Edgy channel, he's really famous for being basically neo-Nazi, declares that Ukrainians are trying to do the right thing by attacking the bridge. The armed forces of Ukraine are doing what we, that is the Russian part, should have done a long time ago. Namely, they are destroying the bridge across the Dnieper in Kherson. The goal is obvious, to interrupt military logistics between the left bank and our foothold on the right bank. It's difficult to physically destroy the bridge itself, but to make its work impossible or extremely difficult is quite a feasible task. To do this, they will strike every day, preventing repair teams from restoring what was destroyed. Why we don't do the same with the Ukrainian bridges across the Dnieper, I do not understand. And he also adds that destroying or at least limiting functionality of the bridge is very much possible, unlike what's been claimed by Russian military so-called experts previously. For a couple of months, we have been reading military experts who, foaming at the mouth, prove that such a large infrastructure structure as a bridge across the Dnieper cannot be destroyed. And in general, we need bridges to bring divisions to the right bank of the Dnieper. Here, the Hohols, a derogatory term for Ukrainians, once again proved that at least a serious violation of the bridge's operation is not Fermat's theorem at all, but quite a job for the average mind. Ex-Ukrainian politician, now separatist Oleg Tsarev, provides suggestions on how to reinforce the bridge to prevent its destruction. You can use the experience of Mariupol and Kherson. Close the holes with slabs, blanks for rolled steel, with a thickness of about 15 centimeters. It will hold a direct hit of a 152mm shell. It would not be bad to cover not only the holes, but the entire surface of the bridge with slabs. In case of damage to a particular slab after a missile hit, it can easily be replaced with another one. Repairing the bridge after shelling would be much easier, but it is quite possible that a replacement would not be needed. 50 centimeters of steel must withstand a hit by a HIMARS missile. I'm pretty sure that 15 centimeters of steel being put on there is a lot of work, and not exactly sure how HIMARS will fare against it, but you fix me on that one. The cost of such coverage is not very high. There are a lot of slabs in Donbass. And of course, he also slams the Russian command for removing the vital air defense protection from the area in the previous days. According to my information, not long before the shelling began, our military removed the S-300 and anti-aircraft missile systems from Kherson. Only this complex is capable of repelling HIMARS missile attacks. Not really. No, S-300 is, by the way, according to information that I have, S-300 fares extremely poorly against HIMARS. You know, just saying. The bridge across the Dnieper is of strategic importance for the defense and subsequent offensive. It must be held at all costs. Now that we know what the Russian side now says about all the situation, well, quite obviously, basically this just means that it's quite likely that Ukrainians will attack over there, because, well, it just makes sense. And if this bridge is so vital, then, well, it would be quite prudent for Ukraine to launch an attack there, which will probably happen in the next few days. Meanwhile, I am going to, in the next few days, to record a longer episode where I'm going to look at massive slamming of Shoigu, who, by the way, is officially a reindeer breeder in his military profession chart when he served in the Soviet Army. And some more about how the pro-war, yet anti-Putin people are feeling about this whole war, because I've mentioned Girkin a lot of times here, you know, and a lot of these people, well, they're starting to separate Russian Federation from Russia. They use two different concepts, and they're stating that this is the war where Russia is fighting against Russian Federation. They don't like the Russian Federation part, because they dislike Putin being way too liberal, and they also stated Elvira Nabiulyevna and other of the high command of Russia is, of course, you know, being too cautious, not providing enough support, and are not defending true Russian interests, i.e., well, I'm talking about the hardcore fascists here. So their opinion on all the situation was interesting. That's going to be a longer episode, because there won't be any kind of major news events there. That's reserved for these news episodes. But that's happening. I would record today, but apparently, well, I had forgotten. I had a little interview in a Lafayette show, and it was like evening talks, so I spent two hours there. But hey, we're still alive, we're still functioning, and the mess with this whole situation is just getting way worse and worse. And if I sound a bit weird in this episode, it's because, well, I can barely feel half of my mouth. I finally got to dentists and my teeth are being fixed, got some fillings, and they're going to rip out my wisdom teeth on 26th. That's going to be a bit painful, but hey, happiness is mandatory. Oh, and please consider becoming our patron on patreon.com/theeasternborder. And if you want to listen to this whole thing without ads, it's always available on theeasternborder.lv, where you also can find a donate button. You know, and we're going to update stuff, because right now we have some merch available, like cups and keychains. No t-shirts just yet, though, which is a bit sad, but we're dealing with this. Again, до свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory.